BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Super Tuesday is approaching and the race is narrowing rather significantly. Tomorrow, Tuesday, March 3rd, Super Tuesday, as voters will go to the polls in a number of states. We're talking about Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, also the state of Virginia going to the polls tomorrow. And the race for the Democratic nomination has significantly narrowed over the past few days, just in the last 90 minutes. The breaking news came forth that the Amy Klobuchar campaign, she is senator from Minnesota, ending her Democratic presidential campaign. New York Times, Fox News, other media saying that according to sources, she is going to be endorsing a rival that would be former Vice President Joe Biden tonight at a rally in the state of Texas. Very interesting, as the New York Times pointed out, that Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, who entered the Democratic presidential race with an appeal to moderate voters and offered herself as a candidate who could win in a Midwestern swing state, has decided to quit the race and endorse a rival, Vice President Joe Biden, according to a person close to Ms. Klobuchar. Despite a third-place finish in New Hampshire, lagged her moderate rivals in every other state, was often seen as a candidate that was siphoning support. The senator from Minnesota shocked her rivals with a surprising third-place finish in New Hampshire, placing ahead of better-known candidates like Liz Warren of Massachusetts, also the former Vice President Joe Biden. From LifeNews.com, Amy Klobuchar does not think late-term pain-capable unborn babies deserve protection under the law. Now, she's viewed as being a moderate candidate, but when you talk about the butchering of babies in the womb, is there any moderation with that? She did not vote on the bill last Tuesday in the Senate because she was campaigning, but she said, "I would have voted with the Democrats." She said if she defeats Trump, she would work to ensure late-term abortions remain legal, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned. She said, "I'm strongly pro-choice. I always have been. I would work with Congress to actually try to codify Roe v. Wade into law." And what was also interesting about Amy Klobuchar is townhall.com pointed out over the weekend that Saturday she finished in a distant sixth in the South Carolina Democratic primary. Matter of fact, Bernie Sanders was at 19.9%, Tom Steyer 11.33%, Pete Buttigieg 8.25%, Liz Warren 7.06%, Amy Klobuchar 3.15%, and Tulsi Gabbard at 1.28%. And when asked about her sixth-place finish, she boasted being in the top five vote-getters in the early primaries and caucuses. Being in the top five might sound impressive, but only six candidates remained in the Democratic primary now that Pete Buttigieg also has ended his campaign. And not only that, but we saw Tom Steyer, one of the, this is from LifeNews.com as well, one of two billionaire Democratic presidential candidates dropping out of the presidential race after a lackluster showing. He wasn't a contender in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada. His game plan was to spend heavily in South Carolina to win that primary and catapult into the upper echelon. But it didn't work. Joe Biden won the South Carolina primary. Steyer finished a distant third despite spending some $24 million in television advertising, more than his Democratic rivals combined. After exiting, he told supporters he got into this race for really, really good reasons, saying, "I didn't get into the race and start talking about things to try to get votes. I was in the race to talk about the things that I care the most about." Let's just listen to how he started his speech as he was dropping out.
"And I didn't get into this race and start talking about things to try and get votes. I was in this race to talk about things that I care the most about and that I continue to care the most about."
And then also the announcement came, a very interesting allusion here to trusting God. When he closes a door, he opens a window. Listen to what he had to say.
And let me say this. I, of course, will be supporting. I've said from the beginning, every Democrat is a million times better than Trump. Trump is a disaster. And let me say this. I mean, we're in South Carolina. Lindsey Graham's a disaster. He's a disaster for the people here. So, of course, I'll be working on that. And let me say one last thing. When the Lord closes a door, he opens a window. I will find that window and crawl through it with you. I promise you that. I love you very much. This has been a great experience. I have zero regrets. Meeting you and the rest of the American people is the highlight of my life. I love you right back. I love you right back. Thank you so much.
Tom Steyer dropping out of the presidential race, announcing here over the weekend. Also, Pete Buttigieg, who came into the race, being just a mayor in South Bend, Indiana. He ended his race yesterday saying that the truth is the plan has narrowed to a close for our candidacy, if not for our cause. Not for our cause, he told supporters in South Bend. We must recognize that at this point in the race, the best way to keep faith with those goals and ideals is to step aside and help bring our party and country together. That decision came just after a day after one of his leading rivals, Joe Biden, scored a resounding victory in South Carolina. Despite robust organizations in Iowa and New Hampshire, Buttigieg failed to overcome daunting questions about his ability to draw African-American support, a key to the Democratic base. He earned just 3% of the non-white vote in South Carolina's Saturday primary. I'd like to just air a couple clips because it's very interesting as to how the matter of being involved in a homosexual relationship rose to the surface in all of this. Pete Buttigieg went back to South Bend, Indiana to make his grand announcement, the one referred to as his husband, Chasen Buttigieg, first addressed the crowd.
It's good to be home. Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. About a year and a half ago, my husband came home from work and told me, well, he asked me, what do you think about running for president? And I laughed, not at him, but at life, because life gave me some interesting experiences on my way to find Pete. After falling in love with Pete, Pete got me to believe in myself again. And I told Pete to run because I knew there were other kids sitting out there in this country who needed to believe in themselves too. Yes, we did. Together, we did. This campaign was built on an idea of hope, an idea of inclusion, an idea of addition rather than subtraction, about bringing people together, about looking your neighbor in the eye and saying, maybe we don't agree on everything, but let's agree on this. We've got one shot, and that's what we did. We went out there with that one shot, and we gave it everything we had because it is time for every single person in this country to look to the White House and know that that institution stands for them, that they belong in this country. It has been an honor and a privilege to share my husband with the rest of this country. You're so welcome. And I am so proud that the same person you saw on the debate stage, the same person you saw at a town hall, is the same person that comes home to me every night. For those of you who know me, you know I'm usually not short with words, but tonight I will be. It's an honor to come home and to bring home the person I love so dearly. So please help me welcome to the stage my dear husband, the man I love so much, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Well, the crowd came unglued as Pete Buttigieg came onto the stage. They kissed one another, embraced, and then Pete Buttigieg turned and made his address to the audience at this special address. I'm just going to play just a brief clip from his statement.
One of those values is truth, and today is a moment of truth. After a year of going everywhere, meeting everyone, defying every expectation, seeking every vote, the truth is that the path has narrowed to a close for our candidacy, if not for our cause. And another of those values is responsibility. And we have a responsibility to consider the effect of remaining in this race any further. Our goal has always been to help unify Americans to defeat Donald Trump and to win the era for our values. And so we must recognize that at this point in the race, the best way to keep faith with those goals and ideals is to step aside and help bring our party and our country together. So tonight, I am making the difficult decision to suspend my campaign for the presidency. I will no longer seek to be the 2020 Democratic nominee for president, but I will do everything in my power to ensure that we have a new Democratic president come January.
So the crowd yelled out, and yes, that was recorded very hot at the rally itself. We tried to trim back audio best we could there, but as the crowd chanted out 2024, and if you notice, Pete Buttigieg talked not only about his candidacy, but also about his cause, And he had spoken previously of starting a family in the White House with Chasen, in which he referred to as his husband. But I'll have just a little bit more to share on this right after the break. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long does it take to make oil?
Chris, oil is the altered remains of organic molecules. These are primarily hydrogen and carbon, and after death they can metamorphose into hydrocarbon oil. It doesn't take long. In fact, there are a number of ways to rapidly convert organic material into oil, but all of them are rather expensive and inefficient. However, if water is injected into the organic material, then the process is much more efficient and quick. This reminds me of the great flood of Noah's day when excessive heat and pressures combined with lots of waters to act on the abundant living things which were destroyed by the flood. Chris, it all fits. Even the difficult questions like the origin of oil can best be answered from a back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Welcome You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Super Tuesday approaches and the race narrows. That's our topic today here on Crosstalk. A number of states going to the polls tomorrow, casting votes. We'll run down who is on the remaining list of candidates yet. But we were talking about the exiting that's from the Democratic field that's happened just within the last 90 minutes, the last couple of days as well, with Amy Klobuchar stepping down, also Pete Buttigieg, Tom Steyer, and one of the things that we heard from Pete Buttigieg was about his cause. And as it was pointed out, even in the New York Post, there was a 9-year-old Colorado boy who got kudos from Pete Buttigieg, who is an open homosexual. He asked him during a rally for help, telling the world that he's gay. A 9-year-old boy. Zachary Rowe's question read, would you help me tell the world I'm gay too? I want to be brave like you. That was Zachary's question. It was met with cheers and chants, love means love, from the nearly 4,000 people that were in attendance. And folks, this is part of what was on. This was on stage at a Colorado rally, as reported by the New York Post. And Pete Buttigieg says, I don't think you need a lot of advice from me on bravery. You seem pretty strong, as he began to answer the boy, evidently calling him up on stage at that time. His cause, a 9-year-old to go ahead and to seek to give affirmation to homosexuality here with a 9-year-old. Yes, the cause is one that he was on. Well, Buttigieg dropped out, saying he no longer had a viable path to the nomination. So who's left? Who's left in this field? Well, it is basically boiled down, as the New York Times has put forth, down to 5 Democrats, 2 Republicans at this point. So far, 23 Democrats and 2 Republicans have dropped out. So running on the Democratic ticket is Joseph Biden, 77 years old, former vice president, who said, quote, if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are, and I cannot stand by and watch that happen. Michael Bloomberg, who's age 78, billionaire, former mayor of New York City, said defeating Donald Trump and rebuilding America is the most urgent and important fight of our lives, and I'm going all in. Again, he said, and I'm going all in. Tulsi Gabbard, she's 38 years old, a congresswoman from Hawaii, Army National Guard veteran, said there are a lot of challenges that are facing the American people that I'm concerned about and that I would want to help solve. She supported Bernie Sanders in the 2016 primaries. Then there is Bernie Sanders, age 78, senator from Vermont, former congressman. The only way we will win this election and create a government and economy that work for all is with a grassroots movement the likes of which have never been seen in American history. Elizabeth Warren, age 70, the senator from Massachusetts. It's time for women to go to Washington and fix our broken government, and that includes a woman at the top. She has frequently spoken about the need for big structural change, and her rallying cry, I have a plan for that. Those are the 5 Democratic contenders that remain: Biden, Bloomberg, Gabbard, Sanders, and Warren. On the Republican side, Donald Trump, age 73, who is president right now, said, considering that we have done more than any administration in the first 2 years, this should be easy. More great things now in the works. He's being challenged by William Weld, age 74, former governor of Massachusetts, former federal prosecutor, who said, I hope to see the Republican Party assume once again the mantle of being the party of Lincoln. He ran for vice president on the Libertarian ticket in 2016. So to look at the long list of the dropouts, Amy Klobuchar entered her campaign March 2nd. That is today. Pete Buttigieg ended his campaign yesterday. And then Tom Steyer ended his campaign on February 29th, just the day before. So in the 3 candidates out in within 3 days, we have Deval Patrick, who ended his campaign February 12th. Andrew Yang ended it February 11th. Michael Bennett ended February 11th. John Delaney ended January 31st. Cory Booker, the senator, ended his campaign January 13th. Marianne Williamson, January 10th. Julian Castro, January 2nd. Kamala Harris, December 3rd, Steve Bullock, December 2nd, Joe Sestak, December 1st, Wayne Messman, November 20th, Beto O'Rourke, November 1st, Tim Ryan, October 24th, Bill de Blasio, September 20th, Kirsten Gillibrand, August 28th, Seth Moulton, August 23rd, Jay Inslee, Governor of Washington State, August 21st, John Hickenlooper, the former governor of Colorado, August 15th, Eric Swalwell, the campaign ended for him, July 8th, Richard Ojeda, January 25th of 2019, and for the Republicans, Joe Walsh stepped down February 7th, and Mark Sanford ended his campaign November 12th, saying that the impeachment inquiry had made it impossible for his message of fiscal conservatism to break through. So right now, the field at 5 for the Democrats, 2 in the Republican ticket, Donald Trump and Mr. Weld as well. Let's see. Also, we have here an interesting headline, Biden-Sanders on Super Tuesday collision course. Fresh off a blowout victory in South Carolina, former Vice President Joe Biden has the momentum of a primary victory, reports USA Today. But with Super Tuesday at hand, Senator Bernie Sanders is looking to extend his lead in national pledged delegates. Biden's victory Saturday shook up what has already been a roller coaster of a February. Voters on Super Tuesday will find former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg on ballots nationwide for the first time. The day is the biggest on the primary calendar. Some 14 states, American Samoa, and Americans living abroad will determine one-third of the pledged delegates. That's 1,357, with 1,991 needed for the nomination. A dominant performance by Sanders could make it nearly impossible for rivals to eclipse his delegate count. Bloomberg will look for a solid showing to compete with Biden as the best moderate challenger to Sanders. The average polling the latest Super Tuesday state shows Sanders leading everywhere except Klobuchar's home state of Minnesota. That may all change now with her announcement today ending her bid for the presidency. Well, there's many other matters that are going on, and interesting development also in the state of Florida. As we have seen, according to WND.com, that two Florida Democrats have asked a judge this week, actually this would have been last week, to disqualify Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders from competing in the state's Democratic primary next month, arguing that Sanders does not belong in the ballot because he's an independent. Frank Bach and George Brown filed a lawsuit in Leon County asking that votes for Sanders be nullified, with Sanders seemingly poised to become the nominee despite spending his congressional career as an independent. Establishment Democrats are attempting to slow his momentum. While Sanders filed to run as a Democrat for president, he has also filed last year to run for re-election in the Senate in 2024 as an independent. Very interesting dynamic there indeed. It's been also reported here from WND.com that Democratic presidential frontrunner Bernie Sanders said he would consider moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Jerusalem back to Tel Aviv. Sanders was asked by a CBS News moderator, what would you say to American Jews who might be concerned you're not, from their perspective, supportive enough of Israel, and specifically you would move the U.S. Embassy back to Tel Aviv? The answer is it's something we would take into consideration. Very interesting. Sanders said that U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East should be about absolutely protecting the independence and security of Israel, but you cannot ignore the suffering of the Palestinian people. Talks about bringing nations together in the Middle East. Also, the matter of superdelegates, and this will boil down to, we see so many of the superdelegates that were given to Hillary Clinton robbing Bernie Sanders of the nomination in the last election. From townhall.com, for many in the Democratic Party, socialism is a bridge too far. The New York Times has interviewed several Democratic leaders, including 93 superdelegates, a majority of who say that they oppose handing Bernie Sanders the party's nomination should the Democratic Socialists fail to reach a majority of delegates before the National Convention in July. That's going to be held right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Times found overwhelming opposition to the idea of giving the presidential nomination to Bernie Sanders. Party leaders say they worry that Sanders would lose to President Trump and drag down moderate House and Senate candidates. Also, coming to us from the Washington Times, a new morning consult poll of some 2,631 Democratic primary voters conducted yesterday indicates, and I apologize, that's a week ago yesterday, the day after the Nevada had its caucuses, found 32% of those voters now back Mr. Sanders as their first choice for president. Michael Bloomberg, a distant second place at 20%. Very interesting dynamics that continue to unfold. By the way, as Politico points out, Sanders has won the backing of the top Muslim political group in MGAGE PAC, which calls itself the biggest Muslim political action committee in the country, is throwing its weight behind Bernie Sanders. The organization that has chapters and affiliates in some 11 states is the latest in a series of high-profile Muslim groups and elected officials to endorse Bernie Sanders. The CEO of MGAGE Action said Sanders is popular among Muslim voters because of his health care plan, criminal justice proposals, and environmental policy. He's also noted his international affairs platform and record of supporting Palestinian rights. Whereas in Real Clear Politics, Chris Matthews saying that Bernie Sanders would lose 49 states to Trump like McGovern did in 1972. Very interesting indeed as to the matters that are going on. Incidentally, Town Hall also pointed out that Democrats participating in the South Carolina debate got more than $1.1 million from pro-abortion organizations. Very interesting indeed. So a number of folks running it for president, five on the Democratic side and two on the Republican side. And the race continues to unfold as Super Tuesday takes place tomorrow. Today on Crosstalk, and we have not done this really much at all other than some of the news roundup days that we've had, we're going to open phone lines today just to give you opportunity to share your thoughts as we continue to go through this primary season as we approach the fall elections. Perhaps you want to share what's on your thought and mind at this point as the Democratic field has narrowed down, as has the GOP field has narrowed down as well. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Certainly, as you have seen, just within the past 3 days, three prominent names that are dropping out of the Democratic race for the presidency, and also that of Super Tuesday coming tomorrow. What thoughts do you have here at this point as we enter this next phase of the race as we count down to the November elections? Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. One thing I can say, we need to be continuing in fervent prayer for this election, in fervent prayer for the election. There is certainly much at stake in this election as it relates to not only the policies and orders that will come forth through the presidency, but also that which is going to be coming as well through the appointment of judges as well for this next term. We'll be back in 1 minute. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Phone lines are open. Your thoughts here as the Super Tuesday approaches and the race has narrowed. Back in 1 minute, this is Crosstalk.
The phone rings and your heart stops. You look down at the screen and see the name of your dear friend who has been waiting for biopsy results. As your shaking fingers fumble to answer the call, your heart cries out a silent prayer. You immediately hear the shock and sadness in her voice. You know, even before she utters the words, it's cancer. What do you say? What do you do at such a time? You want to be supportive, but don't know how to. In the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, cancer survivor Marissa Henley shares from her heart the struggles of cancer, but also presents very practical ideas on ministering to your friend or loved one with emotional needs, spiritual needs, tackling logistical needs, and far more to lend support. Loving Your Friend Through Cancer is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Super Tuesday approaching. The race is narrowed, and getting your thoughts here on the 2020 presidential election. Our lines are packed, but as soon as you hear somebody finish their call with us, that will be your opportunity to pick up and to communicate with us here on the air on Crosstalk. So write down the number at 800-733-9829. Again, a reminder to those of you in the states of Alabama and Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia, as Election Day approaches tomorrow. Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk. And by the way, Israel also in its third election for prime minister that has been underway today as well. Let's begin in Espanola, New Mexico. And Andreas, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. No doubt it's getting more and more interesting. You know, we kind of been waiting to see what's going to happen here. And I think my personal opinion, I think maybe Joe will probably take the lead, as of Tuesday on, and see he'll probably continue to get that momentum, and just we'll see that they'll have a number of delegates, and then see if he can actually secure that spot. But no doubt about, you know, I think, you know, that we got a incumbent president that's done fairly good, you know, on different things, you know, and people are really they're really looking at the things that have been done, not the promises that are being promised. And I live in a democratic area here, but you know, a lot of folks have been, you know, thinking about the real issues, and we need to really pay attention what those issues are and what we stand for, especially as Christians, and vote our morals, you know, and support the president and keep the president and the whole Senate and prayer, and just you know, let the Lord do what he wants to do, you know, and we'll just put it in God's hands. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Andreas. Let's go to Dennis in Mauston, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dennis.
Yes. I'd like to ask why, first of all, is the Bible inspired by God? If so, why does it say in Leviticus 20:13 that...
Dennis, let's deal... We're going to bring you back to our issue today. Yes, God's Word is fully inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But let's come right back to our topic today. Your thoughts on this 2020 election.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about.
Okay, let's go right to the point, Dennis.
Okay. Mr. Buttigieg, I'm fasting from 9 until 3, from now until Easter, so we do not normalize perversion in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Dennis. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Let's go to a caller in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm concerned about candidate Sanders' policy about paying for college. Everybody's going to get free college. Is that what I understand, correct?
There have been many promises for free college, some making free daycare, free health care, et cetera.
Yes, and I am very, very against that, because we were not... well off, but we've paid for our kids to go to college, and I will not be forced to pay for somebody's college. I think that's ridiculous. There's so many other things that we need to do in our country, and that policy is very, very, very poor.
Okay.
It promotes socialism, and that is not what we need in the United States of America, because we do not want to be a country that does not have the rule of law, and socialism is another name for the Communist Party. I'm that's how I feel.
Okay, thank you for sharing your thoughts today. We've got some open phones taking your comments today on your thoughts as to where we are right now in this presidential campaign, the elections coming up, Super Tuesday tomorrow of certain, and then also the election. By the way, we have a number of states coming up on next week, Tuesday as well, but then the countdown to November happens as well. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Shirley is next in Norway, Michigan. Shirley, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just calling to put in my 2 cents worth here. I live in a predominantly Republican area, but in the primary, I am going to vote Democrat. My strategy... Bernie Sanders has some very radical ideas, and the Muslim population is now supporting him, and I want to vote against Muslim control. I lived formerly in Dearborn, Michigan, and I've seen what Muslims were doing down there, and I don't want that for our country.
Okay. Thank you, Shirley, for your thoughts. Diane is next in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I want to just say that I think that President Trump has really grown as a leader. I believe that anyone who enters a position as that he has, no matter who you are, it would be new to you. And in the 4 years that he's had it, he's really grown. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, they said he didn't have much skill as, you know, internationally and all this. And he has done incredible things. And I believe that the Democratic Party has a good handle on not ever giving him credit and being unfair about it. So I am a solid Trump supporter, and I also would never vote for anyone who would support abortion.
Okay.
I think being a Christian, I would have to vote my Christian values.
Thank you, Diane, for your thoughts here today. Let's go next to Fred in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Fred.
Good afternoon. What I don't understand is people, they're running, it sounds like they want to run for president to get Donald Trump out of there, but they're not saying what they're going to do once they get in office. I just was wondering what the big thing about that was.
Well, I mean, we've heard from a number of the politicians said what they're going to do. I mean, we have Medicare for all. That's something that is a significant plan. A complete government takeover of health care. We've got government takeover of even the wealth, according to Bernie Sanders, and having certainly everybody taking from other people's wealth in order to better individuals who have less in resources. Many ideas are out there on their websites as to what they are standing for. Some are talking about having LGBT rights even surpass that which would be under the First Amendment, free exercise of religion. So there are a number of thoughts that are out there. If you listen close to what they're saying, you'll know exactly where the candidates are.
Yeah, I suppose I didn't catch everything. You know, all I heard was get Trump out, and I don't recall hearing some of the other stuff, but you're right. I didn't remember that.
Thank you for the call, Fred.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye now. Let's go to Stephen next in Moundville, Missouri. Stephen, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. I just wanted to say I thought I would never see the time in this country that we would have a candidate running for socialism like Bernie Sanders and making it out like it's no big deal. Everything will be okay, but you have to give up freedoms in a society for these kind of socialistic ideals to work. The students that think this is good, the young people, I don't think they really get the whole gist of what they're going to lose freedom-wise. But Thank you, Jim. Thank you for letting me make my comment.
Thank you for the call. I mean, all we've got to do is look at what's happened recently in Venezuela. We'll see the impact of socialism upon a nation that was once rich in goods and oil exports, and look exactly what has happened there along with the people. Well, let's go next to Pastor Jerry. Go ahead, Pastor. You're on the air.
Yes, I agree with one of the previous callers also, because I've never seen a time in this country where there a sodomite, a socialist, a communist, and by the way, a vote for Bernie Sanders, a vote for government cheese, you if you're a true Christian, you're not a Democrat or a Republican. You're going to vote according to the Bible. So God has anointed Donald Trump to be there. He has that Cyrus anointing on him. If you look at Isaiah 45 and 13, a building of cities, he's been pretty effective. And, of course, a politician will promise you anything to get your vote. Democrats have had a long history of trying to legalize sin in order to get everybody equal. And the reason, say what you say, they talk about the president all they want. You know, he's not the sharpest tool in the drawer, but I can guarantee you he's not the weakest. So you need a man like that in this office that God put him there to stand up to those type of demonic spirits who are trying to take this country under, to persecute Christians, and to stand up what's right for God. And it was collectively, and I'll say this and end my call with this, as you said before, Jim, you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, you have to pay attention because they'll promise you the star and the moons, and when they get in office, they'll forget about you. So let's continue to pray for the president and support him, and thank you for taking my call today, Jim.
Thank you, Pastor Jer. Bye-bye now. Thank you for the call. Eddie is next, Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm calling because I get very disturbed by all the Christians, which I'm one, almost all the people calling, protesting against them. But I'm an independent. Trump, why can't we call out what we have? Trump has been lying to us all along. He's one of the greatest lying presidents in history. Why can't we Christians be truthful and say that he lies?
What has he lied about, Eddie?
Many things. You know, about the Russian thing and about...
Well, now again, the report says no collusion. That's what the president said. The final report came out. There's no collusion there. So how is that lying, Eddie?
Collusion? There's no collusion in a Senate run by all Republicans? Oh, come on. It's like putting a fox in charge of the chicken house.
No, the impeachment had nothing to do with Russia.
Okay. The impeachment also, but you know very well, you know within you, that this... He has been lying about many things.
That's what I'm asking about, Eddie. Eddie, what is he lying about? You said Russia and collusion there, but the reports came out, even through the Department of Justice and through the independent counsel, that there is not collusion.
Okay, but where in the Bible does it say that you should discriminate against people? Where in the Bible? I have a Doctor of Divinity.
Okay, and so
tell me where in the Bible it says that it's okay to discriminate against people from other countries. Trump came here from Germany. His parents came here from Germany. They made him who he is today, you know?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been what he is today if he was in Germany. He dodged the draft. He did all things wrong. Then we as Christians are still standing up.
Okay, let me ask you again then. Let me ask you, Eddie. How has President Trump discriminated? Because he's protecting our borders?
No. Protecting the border is what he needs to do.
Right.
But he doesn't like anybody who is not a white. I've never seen a white person anyway.
Oh my! Look at his cabinet, you know? Eddie. His cabinet alone defies what you're saying here today. So, Eddie, you better take another look at things and be able to separate truth from error that is going on, and everything that you said that you have pointed out as being a lie has been found to be just the opposite. I'm up against a break. Thanks for calling here today, and thanks for listening. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Have you ever heard of the Council for a Livable World? The Council for a Livable World was started by a man that was connected to the Socialist Party in Hungary. He started it here in America as an advocacy group to do what? To disarm America. To gut America's military. The Council for a Livable World eventually was run by Al Gore Sr. Al Gore Sr. and his wife recruited a young man to run for the United States Senate when he was 29 years old. His name? Joe Biden of Delaware. The Gores also were involved with Armin Hammer. Armin Hammer was known to be a Soviet agent and was under investigation by the FBI. Think about this. America's communist enemies putting elected officials into office to gut our military so we lose.
Oh, to our caller, Eddie, as well. I don't know if you follow the news or not, but did you observe that President Trump just was over in India? Did you see the response President Trump received from people in India that were not of the same skin color that he is? You know, check it out. You know, just do some online research and consider whether the things you're being told by places like CNN or MSNBC, are they really factual? Let's go to Julie calling in from Pensacola, Florida. Hi, Julie. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to make a comment about the Democrats who say they want to give free college, free health care, and everything's free. But then when we get it free, we don't really take care of it as people. We don't care about getting a good grade. You know, when it's free, it's not valued. And I like the fact that Trump makes it easier, makes it richer, and he's enriching our lives as Americans. He's bringing wealth back to this country and to other countries, too. And before he became president, he was actually making deals with other countries, you know, because he owns different buildings, hotels and such, golf courses and such. He's always making deals with other countries, and he knew, before he became president, he knew what was going on and how we were being taken advantage of, and that's why he ran, and he made a lot of promises, which he is keeping, and he's just been enriching our lives where we could afford the college.
Thank you, Julie. Appreciate your comments. We're going next to Joseph in Sussex, Wisconsin. Joseph, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. My prediction would be that Bernie Sanders will run against Donald Trump for the President of the United States. Bernie Sanders will select Hillary Rodham Clinton to be his vice president. And if he wins, within the first 2 years, he will contract the Arkansas flu.
Well, interesting indeed. I'll say this, though. There's not quite a relationship. If you remember, there was a lot of bitterness from the last presidential election with the superdelegates going to Hillary Clinton at that time. But thanks for your observations there. Esther in Foley, Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes, I have two things to say. Number one, when anyone is fighting against godly principles, God always wins, number one. Number two, if we vote for a socialist government, we can expect to eat zoo animals like they're doing in Venezuela. We can get shot for criticizing the government like in Cuba, and we can also see our economy tank like in Greece. Hmm. People need to know the facts. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. 800-733-9829 is our number. Bill in Blue River, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, Brother Jim, thank you for taking my call. My main concern is, once again, the threat of election fraud. That's a big focal point. That's mm-hmm. how we ended up in this state of Wisconsin with this empty suit that we call a governor.
Hmm. Okay, that's another whole dynamic to the equation here, Bill. Thanks for raising it.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Kevin from Saxon. You're on the air, Kevin.
Hey, Brandon, how are you?
This is Jim.
I'm thinking of putting you on speed dial. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Jim, Kevin. Go ahead.
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. With everything that's going on, your one caller just called in a couple minutes ago and said he was a Christian and started accusing Trump of all these different things that are going on. You know, it's important for all of us Christians to remember we need to get out and vote come November. You can even see with the Democrat Party what's going on, that they're getting away, they're trying to get away from Bernie Sanders, and who's to say if he's even going to be the runner or not, because I think the true Democrats don't even want him. But as far as our nation, as far as trying to say, oh, Trump is a racist and all this other stuff, that office is a lot bigger than one person. But since he has been office, since he's been in office, every promise that man has made to all of us, he's kept. And he's most important concerned about our rights as Christians, securing our borders, and American people. And that's and not just American people. He's concerned about everybody that's inside of our country, but keeping us safe. And that's what people need to truly look at. But as far as people on the radio, I listen to you guys all the time. We just need to get out. We need to make sure we vote come election and not to get so wrapped up in all this other stuff. We need to stay in line with God and just do our jobs. Do what we're supposed to do while we're here.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome, and I love you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Abigail, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say that our whole family is for Trump, and we need to just stop arguing about politics and all this and just look to the Bible and then compare it with the people that are running for president, because we can see clearly what God would want us to vote for, and that Christians need to stop standing on the sidelines and start voting. And we also need to be in prayer.
Yeah, indeed. Prayer is so critical. Thank you, Abigail.
Yep, thank you.
Let's go to Pleasanton, Kansas. Angie, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
I just wanted to say that people need to do their research on President Trump and everything that he's accomplished, and we need to stand together and vote our values and not what we've heard on the radio. President Trump has been before Congress when he was just a businessman. They turned to him to ask questions, get advice, get things done. The city of New York turned to him when they couldn't get a skating rink built. His family has donated millions of dollars to research hospitals, given kids rides, you know, and their families for the charge. Jordan Sparks, when her family was killed, he gave her a place to stay. He houses some of the homeless in Trump Towers. People really need to start doing their research. In September 1988, when he first told Oprah Winfrey that he would run for president if he felt that the country needed him to, I've been praying that he would run ever since then and finally got our wish when we needed it the most.
Angie, thanks for your call. I'm going to squeeze one last call in from Zimmerman, Minnesota. Patty, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a comment for the lady that called in, said she was thinking about voting Democrat, just for whatever. There is a statement that they have to sign that says, I am in general agreement with the principles of the party for whose candidate I intend to vote. That is included in the oath they have to sign. So I think as Christians, you need to double think that what you're signing is truth.
Okay.
That is the legal thing.
Okay. That would be true for the state of Minnesota.
Correct.
Okay, thank you for that. And I'm out of time here. Thanks for the call. And every state has that. So the statement that you may mention to in Minnesota is not a part of the voting process in other states. So indeed, you can check your election laws. But folks, all of this, our trust does not come from Pennsylvania Avenue or who occupies the White House. Our trust needs to remain in the Lord. But let's honor him. Let's pray for those in authority. Let's be informed. Let's vote. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.